I was diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome probably 6 or 7 years ago. 3 to 5 times a week, I would be waking up with severe pain that doubled me over, and the diarrhea that kept me in the bathroom all morning. I would say this pain is comparable to labor pain. I've had 2 children, and the pain was so severe at times that I was unable to do anything. I was just laying in bed hoping the pain would go away.
I've had IBS symptoms for a long time. I'm talking about at least a decade or more. To me, a good day is a day that doesn't have more than 2 bowel movements. And a good day is a day that doesn't have nausea. And a good day is a day that I'm not feeling sore because I've wiped so many times.
Yeah, it's very tender right there.
Okay. Well, you know that this is part of irritable bowel. This is your sigmoid colon, and when I press it, it's going to be sensitive. It's kind of the same thing as when you get cramps, you're getting tenderness right over in this area. Irritable bowel syndrome is a disorder of GI function that's characterized by abdominal pain, and the abdominal pain must be associated with some change in bowel habit, which could be diarrhea or constipation or some mixture or combination of the two. The pain is often lower abdominal. That's not to say it can't be upper abdominal or both. The pain may become relieved by a bowel movement. The pain may be associated with a looser or more frequent bowel movement, or the pain may be associated with constipation symptoms. Patients more often go to the doctor because of the pain. That's what troubles them the most.
Discomfort is like a feeling of fullness, a feeling of just the stomach being churning a little bit, and that's fine. It's just when it gets to the sharp jabbing, ice pick to the loins kind of pain that it's so difficult to take, and I'm praying, please let me have a bowel movement so I can get this out of me.
We're understanding the pain of irritable bowel in terms of a condition called visceral hypersensitivity. And what we really mean by that is that people with irritable bowel have a lower sensation threshold. And you can talk about an urge threshold or a pain threshold. In all cases, the threshold is lower for irritable bowel people than healthy people. You can get motility changes such as diarrhea or constipation, and you can get sensory changes such as cramping and discomfort. But these kinds of functions don't occur independent of the brain. The brain can receive that information and send down nerve impulses like endorphins to block the pain. But in the more severe IBS, we know that those signals are not working properly. So in fact, the pain signals that come from the bowel are amplified and turned up, and the brain is not turning it down. There's actually a switch mechanism, and in irritable bowel, the switch is not working properly.
I'll have stomach cramps, go to the bathroom. 15 minutes later, I'll have more stomach cramps, go to the bathroom. I've gone to the bathroom 8 times in a day without eating a single crumb on that day.
Irritable bowel can affect almost anybody. In about 25% of cases, it comes on suddenly, often after an infection. But more often, it's not necessarily related to an infection. It seems to develop rather insidiously early in life or during early adulthood. In the US, it's been estimated as anywhere from 5 to 10% of the population. So we're talking about 25 million people, and certainly the same proportions are showing up around the world. So it's actually been considered second to the common cold in terms of work absenteeism. It is the most common GI disorder seen by primary care doctors or gastroenterologists. So it's worldwide, and it's very prevalent.
Probably about, in our country, 50 to 60% have not been to the doctor, and they probably have mild or mild to moderate symptoms. Of those who go to the doctor, probably about 2/3 might have mild to moderate symptoms, and then maybe 1/3 would have the more severe symptoms. So if you looked in terms of the whole population, maybe somewhere between 5 to 20% have severe, maybe another 30% to 40% might have moderate, and the remainder have the mild.
It's far more common in women than men. If you look at surveys of the population, You're seeing that about two-thirds are women.
More people have it now. It's more widely known. When I was first diagnosed with it, all I got was, it's all in your head.
In talking about irritable bowel, just like talking about fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, migraine headaches, where there's no structural abnormality, it becomes very difficult to legitimize this condition to patients and physicians and to society in general. And so what that has led to was the development of more precise symptom-based criteria, which can give a positive diagnosis rather than just doing tests and excluding other conditions.
Hi, this is Carlar. I'm going to have to be a couple hours late again today. I'm sorry.
Irritable bowel is not something that just comes and goes and disappears. It's something that can be chronic or recurrent.
You don't know when your symptoms are going to come. You don't know once they end if they're going to come back. People can have symptoms for several months, then for several months not have symptoms at all, and then it can come back. It's what they call the waxing and waning disorder.
You have these plans, but that day you're supposed to leave, and you get these stomach cramps, and you don't go to the bathroom, and you don't know if you're going to have problems on the road. It's a horrible feeling.
The healthcare burden for irritable bowel is considerable. We're talking about $2 billion in this country of direct costs and $20 billion of indirect costs. Indirect costs means not just the cost of going to the doctor and getting treated, but we're talking about the loss to the healthcare economy by people not in the workforce. So that's $20 billion.
There really is a need to have medications that treat irritable bowel syndrome, as opposed to specific symptoms.
The ideal drug would be to have, you know, the nerves in your intestines not so sensitive and to have the proper amount of contractions daily. That's the key, really. And that would help people no matter which they had.